Over the last several years, the book world has seen its real estate contract, as much a result of the loss of bookstore chains and the rise of e-retailers as consolidation among publishers. News this week shows just how small the world is after all. Welcome to Copyright Clearance Center's podcast series. I'm Christopher Keneally for Beyond the Book. In a world grown small, any move by one player impacts many others. A war for online book sales can push print sales higher elsewhere, for one, and dramatic announcements from one tech giant prompt responses from another. Andrew Albanese keeps an eye on all the thrown elbows as senior writer at Publishers Weekly, and he joins me now. Welcome back to Beyond the Book, Andrew.
Hey there, Chris.
Well, you know, I'm interested in this whole account you have of what's been going on this week in the book business. A lot to sort out, and we'll start with the new tablet deal that Barnes & Noble has with Samsung. It preceded its announcement on its latest financials, and you're reading of BNN's books, tells a bit of a murky tale. What's going on?
Yeah, you know, I think murky is a kind way of putting it. So, you know, as you suggest, this week, Barnes & Noble released its first quarter results, and in Monday's issue of Publishers Weekly, we'll run it all down for readers. But suffice it to say, there was a mix of good news and quite a bit of bad news in there, I think, too, for Barnes & Noble's first quarter financials. On the positive side, the company's overall net loss was cut pretty dramatically, down to 28.4 million from 87 million in the first period of fiscal 2014, with $50 million in those cuts coming from the downsizing of Barnes & Noble's Nook segment. The Nook, meanwhile, operated at close to break even in the quarter, but revenue for the entire company fell 7%, down to about $1.25 billion. And sales in the retail trade books division fell 5.3%. And here is kind of the crusher for me. Nook sales dropped by 54.3%. So on a call about the results, BNN officials spoke about, you know, what they suggested were actually improved industry trends about the sales of print books. And they also conceded that the dispute between Amazon and Hachette also helped to lift sales in the quarter. But that wasn't quantified. We didn't actually see how that might have helped them or exactly on what titles or where. During the quarter, BNN closed three more retail stores, and they now finished the period with a total of 650 outlets across the U.S. As you might expect, BNN officials said that reversing the sales slide of digital content remains a top priority for Barnes & Noble. BNN officials are pinning their hopes on that $200 in free content for consumers who buy the new Samsung Galaxy Tab 4 Nook tablet. But we shall see how that actually plays out for them in the rest of the year.
Right. Well, it's a mouthful there. Samsung Galaxy Tab 4.
It doesn't exactly roll off the tongue, does
it? No,
it
does. You kind of wonder about the technology involved as well. And we talked about that some last week. And this week from Cupertino, we got to look at just how tough it is to compete in the gadget field, the technology field. Apple debuted several of its new products, and I want to know what you think.
Well, I think I'm sick of technology. You know, I logged in and tried to watch the live event, and it didn't work. I wasn't able to actually get the live stream. But the bottom line is I did eventually see it, and yeah, it's a bigger phone and it's a watch. And you know, is this what we can expect from now on? You know, where's my jetpack? Seriously, I'm getting a little disappointed by the trajectory of technology right now, because it seems to be, you know, less about the big stuff and more about, you know, this gadgetry. So there, I got that off my chest. But I do think it's notable that while the new Apple iPhone 6 Plus is much bigger, it has a 5.5-inch screen, which makes it much better for reading, ebooks were pretty much left out of the conversation entirely. And even in the media coverage, nobody really spoke that much about how this device would work for ebooks. But hey, you know, the band U2 was there. That also disappointed me a little bit. But stockholders seemed not to be disappointed. They seemed to like the new products. Apple stock jumped to record highs. And I suppose the big takeaway for me was this reminder that, you know, iBookstore aside and even iTunes aside, Apple is still revered and probably most highly regarded for its hardware. And here you have a couple of new examples of some new hardware for Apple.
Indeed. And, you know, we don't want to veer this conversation away from books, books, but what Apple seems to me to be about these days is more about style and fashion, frankly, than even technology, which was what that watch was all about. And, you know, when it comes to timing, it's always important. And this week, Amazon tried to rain on Apple's parade a bit. For one, they announced that the Fire device was available for 99 cents. But they've also reminded users of Apple's role in, of course, the ebook price-fixing scheme. Tell us what happened there.
Yeah, that was definitely some curious timing. On the morning that Apple was debuting its new devices, Amazon emailed Kindle customers court-mandated notice of Apple's recent deal to settle damages in its ebook price-fixing case. Now, I know on the surface, this looks a little bit like a bit of a dirty trick, but in fact, that notice was expected. You know, according to Judge Denise Coates' preliminary settlement approval, that notice had to be issued by September 15th. And while the notice did come from Amazon, it was actually overseen by the court. So it's not likely that Amazon was able to maneuver to push that notice out on the very day of Apple's announcement. But it sure is some coincidence. And timing aside, the notice itself, I think, is worth talking about here, and for a few reasons. You know, the first is a key date that I think listeners should pay attention to, and that's Halloween, October 31, because that's the date that you have to notify the government that you would rather receive a check rather than a credit to your retailer account for this Apple settlement. Now, this is the key point that I want to make. This settlement with Apple is different than the publisher settlements. The publisher settlements, you will recall, required that credits be issued, that the credits that were issued had to be spent on books, whether that's print books or ebooks. But that is not the case with the Apple settlement. That settlement allows for the credits that you get to your retailer account to be spent on any product or service offered by the retailer. So another point I want to make here is that the bulk of these credits are going to be issued through Amazon. The retailer, Amazon, obviously dominated the market during the period of the settlement. So if Judge Coates' verdict is upheld and Apple ends up paying the top end, which is $400 million in damages from Apple, as much as $300 million, hey, maybe even more of that, Apple money is going to start flowing into Amazon accounts. And that money can then start flowing to whoever. You can spend it on underwear or flashlights or anything Amazon offers other than books. So wouldn't it be something if, I don't know, some kind of grassroots effort kicked off that would actually urge consumers to go to the website, the ebook website, before October 31st and opt for checks instead of retailer credits. I should say instead of an Amazon credit, because most of them are going to be Amazon credits. And then to take those checks and spend them at a local independent bookstore. It's absolutely easy to do. The notice that you received shows you exactly how to go online and opt for a check. It takes absolutely no time at all. And given the amount of money at stake in the Apple settlement, which is, you know, more than double what came out in the publisher settlements, the checks here could actually be pretty sizable this time. That is, of course, if Judge Coates' ruling holds up on appeal. Now, one last thing. You do only have until October 31, that's about 6 weeks, to go to the site and opt for a check. And by November, we could know whether that settlement is approved, because that's when the judge is scheduled a final fairness hearing. But all of this is still contingent on the appeals process playing out. So even if you go to the website and you opt for a check and you think, boy, I would sure like to take this to my local bookstore and spend it, you still are going to have to hurry up and wait, because the appeal process could take months, possibly even years. Nevertheless, for those of you who are concerned about Amazon's growing dominance and don't want to pump another $300 million of Apple money into Amazon, ask for a check and go spend it at your local bookstore.
Well, indeed, it's a terrific scheme, and maybe you ought to call that colleague of ours, Oren Teacher. We were all together last November at the Miami Book Fair, and he might find this intriguing.
Yeah, Oren, if you're listening, get the ABA on this and see if you can't organize some little effort. At the very least, I think it's good PR for bookstores.
Well, indeed it is, and it's a terrific idea. Andrew Albany's keeping an eye on the book world for us there at Publishers Weekly. Always enjoy chatting with you.
My pleasure, Chris.
Beyond the Book is produced by Copyright Clearance Center, a global rights broker for the world's most sought-after materials, including millions of books and ebooks, journals, newspapers, magazines, and blogs, as well as images, movies, and television shows. You can follow Beyond the Book on Twitter, like us on Facebook, and subscribe to the free podcast series on iTunes or at beyondthebook.com. Our engineer and co-producer is Jeremy Brisky of Burst Marketing. My name is Christopher Keneally. For all of us at Copyright Clearance Center, thanks for listening to Beyond the Book.